Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Okay, let's start the show in a very professional manner here this afternoon. Just find mine, Fred. I'll be okay. Thank you very much. I don't have headphones. I had headphones. I'm not sure where they are. But I'm assuming that everyone can hear me. Sue, can you hear me right now?
I can. Thanks for asking.
Ethan, can you hear me right now?
Loud and clear.
And I think the audience can hear me as well, so I appreciate that. Well, good afternoon. It's a little brisk out there, wouldn't you say? A little chilly.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, well, it is weird because, you know, typically if you'd had snow at this time of year, it'd be like March, where, you know, it'd at least melt for the most part within
right.
a couple of days. And that just has not happened, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and it's going to stay that way. And what was the low this morning? You were up early, so
yeah,
you know.
It was 20 when I got up. But they say that the forecast that I did this morning said that the low tonight is 16.
That's chilly.
Chilly for this time of year. It's not supposed to be this cold yet.
I feel like most people usually at this time of year when it comes to the snow and the weather, I feel like people are more, you know, gleeful about it because pre-Christmas, right, it's like, okay, it's kind of with the season. But
I have a theory.
I think that because it went from being so beautiful for the majority of November to just immediate cold, it almost, like, shocked people. Like, there wasn't that in-between of where it just got, like, chilly,
I think you're right.
chilly.
Ethan?
Yeah. It just was one extreme to the other, everyone's like, we hate this.
We got no buffer.
Yeah, that happens. Let's be honest. And I don't think it happened this year, maybe last year, but it happens in May a lot, too. Like, you get into May, and it's, like, beautiful, and then all of a sudden, boom, air conditioner goes on, you know, turn it off. So, yeah, it's a little jarring for this time of year, but we're all going to make it through. And let me use that as a nice segue into my first topic here, which, again, I'm just going to say I'm not trying to make this all about myself, although I really do prefer to do that. I like to make everything about myself. But this does affect, it affects a lot of people, and there's some updates on this road closing project that I've been talking about. David Amoletti, who is a Channel 4 reporter, is apparently going to interview some of my neighbors today. And I just want to set this up for you guys in a different way so people understand why there's so much anger in my neck of the woods. So envision, Sue, you have a new home, right?
Well.
You just moved into, it's a new house that you moved
new
into.
To
it's
me.
Not brand new.
Yes.
Right, no, I know.
Yeah.
Fred, you live in South County. And Ethan, where do you live exactly?
St. Charles.
I don't remember St. Charles. So envision a situation where you live in your house and for years you drive down a particular road to get to work, to get to a Cardinals game, to get to a Blues game, to get to the stores, all those things, right? And then, you know, to get to a main intersection from that road, it takes 5 minutes, okay? And it's like a mile and a half, all right? And I mapped this out today. And then you find out that the road that you use every day, multiple times, like you don't use it just one time going in and out, you find out that that road is going to be closed for 270 days. And then you find out at the 270-day mark that the road isn't even close to being opened back up again. and it's going to probably be closed for months. And then at the same time, you're requesting, because this is taxpayer money, okay? This is ARPA money that came from you. You know, if Elliot Davis were here, if he were still doing stuff on Fox, he'd say you paid for it. By the way, that's another topic. Like, Elliot, maybe we need to get him on, Fred, but he's out there, like, defending Tashara Jones. Sometimes he does stuff that I'm like, yeah, you go, Elliot Davis. And then I'm like, well, why are you defending Tashara? That's another topic. But anyway, there's taxpayer money that's on the line here, right? And there's a deadline for this particular project, and it has now been missed. It was supposed to be done on November 30th. But what was interesting is what happened yesterday, because the neighborhoods, and this is why David, I think, is doing a story. We're trying to encourage other local TV stations to do something on this as well. We have had no communication on this whatsoever. We've all had to ask for communication from Valley Park. And how would I sum up Valley Park and their administration in just like two words? Oh, yeah, they suck. Okay, they're incompetent. And they've screwed this up from the beginning. So yesterday, they put a news release out that says Hillsborough Road and Merrimack Station Stormwater Improvement Project Status Update, December 3rd. As has been previously stated, the contract for the Hillsborough Road and Merrimack Station Road Stormwater Improvement Project, to give you a visual again, this is at 44 and 141, right near Paradise Valley and Krause Farms. It had an original timeline of 270 days on the calendar. The project began on March 5th, and the 270-day timeline expired on November 30th. That was Sunday. Hillsborough Road has been completely closed since March 5th, and it remains closed. That's false, because what they did at first was they took trees down, and they marked some utilities, and that's all they did. And they had the road closed until some of us figured, hey, nothing has changed on the road. We're going to keep going through. Which we did for several weeks. And then they threatened the cops are going to pull us over. And then they put barriers up, right? But it essentially has been closed since March 5th. So then they get into this blah, 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 blah. The city will proceed with assessing and collecting liquidated damages as stipulated in the contract. And I have the contracts. I've read all this, right? So there, I can bore you with the rest of what they said. But essentially, Nathan Schaaf, who's the city administrator at Valley Park, who I'm pretty clear sucks at his job, didn't say anything in this release. Nothing. He gives us no information, mainly because this project is going to go on and on and on. So here's what makes it interesting, and this is why I wanted to talk about it again today, because now the blame game is getting played. There's a company out in Pacific called West Contracting. They're the ones who are the general contractor for this project. When you have a general contractor, you have subcontractors, right? They're the ones that are leading the project. Now, I've never heard this before, and this is what makes it interesting. West Contracting. And their statement says, West Contracting and its subcontractors are working to complete the project despite unexpected delays from inaccurate utility locations, planned design changes, subsurface issues, and additional site clearing. The teams have worked tirelessly to evolve with field conditions and implement cost-effective solutions. We appreciate the community's patience and remain committed to minimizing disruptions while completing the project as quickly as possible. Well, West Contracting, I have some news for you. That's not acceptable. Okay, that's not enough either. We need some answers. And I sent the West brothers, I think maybe it's a father and son, found their email address, and I sent them an email last night. And I said, this is not good enough, all right? We need answers. This is taxpayer money. And I said this. I said, you may appreciate our patience, but I guarantee you we have none left. We have zero patience left for this. So, like, it's one of those frustrating situations. I will say, and I just want to make this clear, I understand, and perhaps better than anyone, after my mental health experience from the summer, that there are far more important issues that people have in their lives. And this is a major inconvenience, but nobody's dying or nobody's, you know, on their deathbed. So I put this into perspective, but the reason that I set up the topic the way that I did at the beginning is you should think to yourself, if you have a situation like that, and by the way, now you have the potential of emergency vehicles not being able to get to our homes. If someone has a heart attack or if there's a fire or something like that, it's going to take longer. Or maybe they can't get there because there's an accident. We've often had situations on this road where a car goes off into a ditch. It closes the road for several hours. Well, the good news is we have another way to get into our house. We no longer have that. We don't have that. It takes my daughter an hour to get home from school. So yes, it's inconveniences and people have far bigger challenges, but it's reflective, I think, on the incompetence of government, okay? Because think about this. This is a microcosm of what happens with a lot of these programs. You can look at the rail program in California as an extreme example, right? You can look at Metrolink here as an extreme example, where a project is set up, you're told it's going to happen, there are bids that go out, the bids are submitted, and every time the price tag goes up. And up. And then where's the money coming from? Like, one of the questions I have is, the contractor getting paid by Valley Park? It's taxpayer money. This is ARPA money. They have to spend it by next year, but they have all through next year to spend it. So there's a lot of questions, and it's just an example of how government fails you. I mean, these are the basic things. You can sit and bitch about what Trump does. You can be pissed off about what, you know, they do in Washington. But these are the things that affect people's lives and businesses, by the way, in very real ways. And it's just incompetence from the top to the bottom. And one of the things that I told Valley Park from the very beginning was, just a little bit of communication. Just a little bit of communication could have gone a long, long way into calming the nerves and the temperature and the boiling point of thousands of people who have had enough. So my message to my friends at West Contracting and the city of Valley Park is to get your absolute blank together and do something and respond to your constituents and the taxpayers, because you're not doing enough. And unfortunately, I think that's what a lot of people have. And look, let's face it, I'm a guy that can blab about this on the radio, get the attention of other media. Most people, if they have a situation like this, they can't do that, right? They're stuck, and there's no accountability whatsoever. Valley Park doesn't care. I don't even live in Valley Park. They don't care about us. None of us do. We're in unincorporated St. Louis County. They don't give a crap. So it's just, it's extremely frustrating. It interferes with the aspects of all of our lives, and we've just about had it. So there you go. I got that off my chest this afternoon. I heard Brad Young on our sister station earlier, Fred. He was talking about the double tap strikes. We can talk about that with him coming up here at the bottom of the hour. That's still something that's getting, you know, a fair amount of attention. And it's wild. You have people like Judge Napolitano going on Newsmax. Okay, I have the audio. I can play some of this later. He goes on Newsmax, and he says, oh, this is definitely illegal. You know, there were people that were hanging off that boat, so there's no doubt that this is illegal. You got other people saying, no, there's, are you kidding me? This is clearly within, you know, the rules of engagement, and we did nothing wrong. So the back and forth on this, and the players are interesting too, because, you know, yesterday we talked about this. Rand Paul, yeah, it's clearly illegal. Napolitano, it's clearly illegal. Everybody else is like, no, it's really not. If you look at this and you look at the drone strikes that Obama did, oh, but this is a different situation. Brad, I heard what he had to say, and he will describe and, you know, sort of explain the minutiae involved in that, and that's coming up. We have Azra Nomani. It was always one of my favorites, coming up here to talk about some of the stuff that goes on with the Somalis and the National Guard shooter and a lot of stuff that she's always all over. We'll have Sue's News on a Thursday. You know, tomorrow is the Reardon Roundtable Day. Jane Duker will be here. Jeff Rainford, former St. Louis County police chief, and former St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch will be here. We'll have Kilmeade on the show tomorrow as well. He's usually on Wednesday or Thursday, but he was booked up. Also, I must say this. Very much looking forward to Dr. Mark Siegel this afternoon. I love him. He's a Fox News senior medical analyst. Fred, as you know, during COVID, he was there for us all the time. Yeah. He was outstanding. He did great work on, they call it Doctors Radio on Sirius XM. I would listen to him all the time because at that point, well, I paid for it, but they were even giving people who didn't have subscriptions
information. Yeah, I listen to it all the time, too.
But he has this book that's called The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. And Chris Smith, you know, my friend who was shot in the head, got on Dr. Siegel's radar, and Dr. Siegel interviewed Chris and his mother because Chris kind of had this out-of-body experience when he came back in recovery from that, you know, gunshot wound to his head. So I think it's Dr. Siegel's opinion that Chris is going to be a great addition to the sequel of this book. But he's going to tell us about the book. He also had some really interesting comments yesterday on Fox about social media and young kids and the dangers that these smartphones present. I'm terrified since I have a 10-year-old, you know, close to being 11. So we'll ask him about that as well. So a lot to go, plus an audio cut of the day and more on a Thursday edition of the Mark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Reardon Show. Brad Young is going to weigh in on some stuff at the bottom of the hour. 97.1 Talk, chief legal analyst, partner with Harris, Young, and Kaiser. That's coming up here. I do have a couple of things that I want to touch on at 4 o'clock. I like to focus every once in a while on some musical passings. You do this sometimes in Sue's News, but somebody passed away today, and it's a name that most people would not know, but I guarantee you know the music very well. So I'll get to that in the 4 o'clock hour as well. You know, one thing on the topic of Brad who's coming up, there was an interesting story today about AI and billable hours and how that affects lawyers. Have you ever gotten a bill from a lawyer with billable hours, Sue?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's a real fun thing to do. Phone call, 15 minutes, quarter hour. Wrote a note, 15 minutes, quarter hour, then you get your bill.
Wow.
But they're doing great work for us all, right? Brad, nothing against you.
Mm-mm.
Azra Nomani is here, senior fellow at the Independent Women's Network, the founder of the Pearl Network. How are you, Azra? Welcome back. You're not an attorney, are you?
No.
Thank goodness,
right? I love them because you got to win in the court of law and win in the court of public opinion.
Well, they do come in handy sometime. There's no doubt about that. Look, I got a bunch of stuff to talk to you about, but let's kind of start with the National Guard shooter and what happened. And you think that there's a bit of a connection that might be emerging here that maybe some of the media is not onto. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I think this is really important because I think when you can understand how a tragedy happened, it's more effective trying to process the hurt too from it, because this is really devastated this long friendship that America has had with the soldiers and others that were in Afghanistan serving alongside the U.S. soldiers. So there's a lot of debate happening now, but I wanted to dive into it because I'm always curious about the path to radicalization. As many people might know, the man, Rehman Lakhanwal, who did the shooting, yelled Allahu Akbar right after the shooting. So how did that happen? And what I did is I dove into the community of his colleagues, the military and intelligence security forces that worked in Afghanistan that came with him, because it turned out that this was a punch to their gut also, many of them. And they spoke with the last standing Afghan general in Kabul right before the fall to the Taliban. And, you know, he helped me get some understanding where the brother of Rahmanullah reported to the FBI that when his wife tried to call him and find out where he was at in the days before the shooting, he told her, "I'm with the Tablighis." And so that might not mean a lot to listeners, but that was an alarm bell for me when I heard that he'd reported that, and it was for the wife and then for the brother, who also had served in the Afghan forces with the U.S. military and CIA. And then, unfortunately, a couple days later, they learned the news that Rahmanullah had done the shooting. So the Tablighis are a missionary group that comes out of this Deobandi school of thought that, ironically, is the ideology that inspires the Taliban. And so what I wrote about in Fox News Digital was the idea that, and the reporting that his family has been concerned about, that that he ended up going to a mosque in the Seattle area,
right,
up in, you know, where he was living, and got indoctrinated and ended up on these missionary trips through the Midwest and the Pacific Northwest, Indianapolis, Chicago, Phoenix. They're reported in caseworker reports about him just running off. And that's something that the Tablighis do. They say that they're not violent and that they're against violence and extremism and terrorism, but they become a conveyor belt, and they have been a conveyor belt to many terrorists that we've had through our U.S. History.
So is this then, Azra, to say that maybe you're concerned that this is more than just like a lone gunman type of situation in the way that he was radicalized? Is there more, do you feel like there's more organization to it, or what's the concern?
Yeah, see, I've never bought that idea of the lone wolf, because while one man may pull a trigger, there's a poisonous ideology that he has absorbed that is a part of this network, mm-hmm, of extremist propaganda that has crossed borders for decades now through the U.S. into the U.S. and throughout our world. And that network needs to be held accountable also. But beyond that, what the FBI is investigating now, and what the family is investigating also, is he didn't have a job. I did the math. It costs about $350 minimum gas money alone. You're just like starving, and you haven't even bought a Big Mac, right? Along the way, and so who paid for that? Did he sleep in his car? What did he do? How did he get the gun? Also, he had very limited English. And there's a lot of, I have a list literally of 180 questions that I'm getting.
And you know what, candidly, is happening? I think you know this. You know what's happening with this is, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to revisit this topic and talk about it a little bit. I was off almost all of last week. A lot of people in the media were, and a lot of people tuned out, right? A lot of people in this country, because of the holidays, they had their families in town.
Yeah.
And this is one of those stories that, you know, didn't get a lot of attention because of that, because when it was breaking and was happening, not as many. Look, it took me a couple of days to even hear about this because I was busy with my kids, et cetera. So in the aftermath and the way that the news cycle works so quickly with President Trump in particular, some of this stuff really does slip through the media cracks as well. So I'm glad that you're trying to shine some light on this.
Yeah. What's so important here is that this network is one that we must understand. A lot of people talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, and they understand that there is this Muslim Brotherhood network that encourages people to radicalization. And the Tablighi Jamaat network is well known to anybody from South Asia. But you won't believe this. I have watched them work since I was 10 years old here in the United States, because one of my cousins got converted into that network, and he didn't become violent, and he didn't become a terrorist or anything like that, but he became tyrannical in his own family. You know, it was a rigid interpretation of Islam that made him the boss, that got him to go back to our native India because he rejected the immorality of the West. And they create that antagonism, you know, and that, and the wrong person going down that path of antagonism with America and Americans can end up with this kind of bloody and tragic result that we had on 17th Street Northwest. Yeah. I didn't miss this story because I'm from West Virginia, remember, and I've been here this past week, and sent the shockwaves through this little town here in West Virginia, where the young woman was, doing her duty in the National Guard from the West Virginia National Guard. Her last job was literally, scooping ice cream at the creamery in her town. And so the Afghan military and intel folks that I've talked to are so ashamed that this has happened. They have been fighting terrorists for 20 years. And so they're pissed off. And they're like, one of our guys became a terrorist. Like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
And they are, and what's happened, if people might not know, is, this has turned into a backlash against Afghans because you got to, you're understandably angry and all that. But that's not going to solve the answer, because the ideologues, the propagandists, whoever indoctrinated him will slip back into the, crack, right, into our corners of American society. And that's why I'm on the job, to figure out who they are. Was somebody sitting in the passenger seat next to him? Was it in the back seat? Did they send him money? Did they get him gas money?
Yeah, these are all good questions. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, sadly, we're not even talking about, everybody moved on so quickly, and everyone's talking about the double tap and all that stuff, and these victims barely got any of attention in the aftermath of this. But thank you for doing it. Oswald, thanks for jumping on here with me this afternoon. If we don't speak here, have a great holiday. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
A couple of days ago, we talked about this story. I found it quite entertaining. I think we picked it up on Monday's show. A former Florissant, Missouri police officer admitted to illegally searching the phones of 20 women during traffic stops, and he got nude photos. Now, Sue, when we were talking about this the other day, my wife pointed out, and I guess I should know, that you do have the ability, like even on your, you have a communist phone, but I have an iPhone, and you can put into the search function in the pictures you know, a word and it will come up.
Like, it will.
It's very good. That's, I guess, part of the AI, if you will. So this guy was taking these phones from traffic stops and, I guess, pulling nude photos off. It was all very fascinating. Well, he's going to prison now. But Bran Young is with us, 97.1 FM Talk Chief Legal Analyst, a partner with Harris, Young, and Kaiser. Hello, Brad. How are you this afternoon?
Mark, I'm doing great, sir. Thanks.
This is an interesting story. Now, my first word of advice for people, we'll see if the lawyer agrees here, is do not give your telephone to a cop ever, 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 ever.
Never.
Right.
Never. There's
right.
There's no circumstance.
No.
Now, listen, I have my insurance information on my phone, probably most people. I also have a card in my glove box. But if a police officer wants my insurance info off of a card or wants yours off of your phone, rather, here's exactly what you do. You never, there are no circumstances, zero, where you give your phone to a police officer. What you do is you say, officer, I will hold up my phone with my insurance information
right.
so you can take a picture of it.
Right.
But you never release the phone because once you do, there's an issue about whether you are now consenting to have your phone searched. Now, in this instance with the Florissant cop, he was obviously doing it for illegal purposes. But I could give you scenarios where the police officer could say the driver handed me their phone. I looked through it because I suspected X, Y, and Z, and then I found this other criminal activity.
Right.
Right. So you never give up your phone ever.
Yeah. And so this was weird. Like in this situation, I was sort of, you know, leading into the segment this way. He allegedly grabs the phones because he says he needs to confirm their insurance coverage and vehicle registration in one of the cases. Then he searches through the phones. They must have given him, you know, the passcode or the phone was open. And he looks through the photos and I guess maybe he puts the word nude in there and he finds images of some of these women who are nude. And he, in one instance, didn't even text message himself.
He did.
One of the pictures.
He's a genius.
He did.
Yeah.
It was a video. Actually, he texted himself a video.
So how many people, like if you got 20 victims here, women that pull, how many did he try this with would be my question. Are you kidding me?
Correct. We have no idea. We only know of the 20 where this actually worked. We don't know of how many people he pulled over, looked through their phones, didn't find any nude photos, and then just gave it back to them. We have no way of knowing
yeah.
that.
Well, and so this issue about not handing the phones over, this is, you might remember, I think I spoke with you and popped off. I hate this, you know, this new law in Missouri because it's nanny state nonsense that says that a cop can pull you over simply for seeing you use your phone in your car. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Correct.
And if they
it
come
is.
Over and they say, well, was I texting? What was I doing? They're going to ask you questions. Don't give them your phone because they have no right to your phone. And, you know, if they want to get a warrant or something like that, that's fine. If they want to give you a ticket for something else, that's fine, but do not hand over that phone.
No.
I love your cop. I love my cops out there, right? But
yeah.
there are certain things that us civilians need to make sure that we're taken care of, and that would certainly be one of them right there. Not a chance in hell would I hand that over. Let's talk about the double tap a little bit. I'm going to visit with a couple of different people on this issue. This is the, you know, the case of the Venezuelan gunboat where this goes back a couple of months where it's, you know, blown out of the waters. There's allegedly two people that are still alive. Pete Hegseth is in the room when the strike is ordered. He's not in the room when the admiral involved here sort of orders a second strike, which is why they're calling it the double tap. Now, as I indicated at the beginning of the show, look, I don't know where you are on this. I heard you a little bit on our sister station talking about it, but you have guys out there like Rand Paul that says it's clearly illegal. Other legal experts say, no, you know, this is fine. This is within the rules of engagement. So where would you be on this particular issue?
Well, here's where I am. I'm just strictly looking at it legally because from a policy standpoint, I'm obviously all in favor of stopping drug runners from sending fentanyl to the United States. I mean, who could be in favor of sending fentanyl to the United States? So I have no problem with stopping the drug runners. The problem I have is twofold. First of all, under Article 12 of the First Geneva Convention and Article 16 of the Second Geneva Convention, it prohibits attacking shipwrecked persons who are, the term is, out of combat. You can't kill people who are hanging onto the boat trying to survive. And that's not just the Geneva Convention. That's been adopted into U.S. law under 18 U.S.C. 2441. So it's literally against federal law to do that double tap when the people hanging on the boat are out of the combat. That's the first issue I have. Second issue I have is this. under our entire legal system, the military is not charged in any way with enforcing the law. In fact, the Posse Comitatus Act says the military cannot enforce the law. They're not police officers. So the only branch of the military that is allowed under our legal system to enforce the laws is the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard has to follow police procedures. If they suspect there's a drug boat, they got to stop the boat. They can only fire if they're fired upon. They arrest the individuals if they're transporting drugs or bringing them in the U.S. They have to be arrested. So there's no part of U.S. law that allows the Air Force to shoot Hellfire missiles and blow up drug boats. That's the problem I have with it.
Well, all right. I want you to listen to this here. This is Jeb Rubenfeld with Mark Halpern on a podcast. He's a guy, professor at Yale. We'll get response here.
I would not say what make the argument you're making now, that it's fine to kill shipwreck people who are floating in the water. That's going to lose. That's against the law. That's murder. What I would say is we weren't doing that. We were taking the boat out. We've all agreed that we're allowed, that the boat's a legitimate target. And we had to finish the job, take that boat out and sink all the fentanyl or whatever supposedly was on that boat. We're allowed to take a second shot at that boat. It's not a double tap at the guys. It's right. A double tap. It's not even a double tap.
Second strike
at the boat.
So just to clarify, if you were in like the Situation Room and you were the lawyer on call and they said, there are two guys there, they're defenseless. Mm-hmm. But the ship's still there, and the mission's to get rid of that ship and the cargo. We're going to take out the ship. Those guys are going to die, but our purpose is to take out the ship and the cargo. You'd approve that?
That's essentially the decision that has already been made by those lawyers when they first say you can take out that ship with the 11 people on it. So I would ask if I'm a lawyer, I would ask very specifically, you're sure that the boat is still there, and there's a reasonable chance it's got the cargo on it? And they say, yeah, the boat's still there. We can see it. The boat's there. Yeah. Then on the same grounds that I authorized, that I said it was legal to strike them in the first place, I would say, yeah, you can take a shot at that boat. That's right.
So, Brad, how would you respond to that? And by the way, the other thing that's really a component here is Admiral Frank Bradley, who has kind of got thrown under the bus in certain circumstances, certainly from the left. But what I hear about this guy is he's like one of the best in the military. He's buttoned up. He's got an incredible resume. And he would know exactly what the law is involving a strike yes. like this.
Well, the hypothetical in that interview you just played, if that's in fact what happened, then I agree that doing that second shot, the second missile or the second firing on the boat, if in fact the boat was still navigable, still had the fentanyl on board, and the boat was not disabled,
yeah.
then
yeah,
certainly
yeah, yeah.
taking that second shot would be fine. It would not violate the War Crimes Act. But at least as far as I know, I've read tons on this issue. We don't know one way or the other what the facts are. We don't know if the ship was in fact disabled or was not disabled. At least I have not seen any definite yeah. information on it. Right?
Well, and that's part of the problem here, because all I'd like to know is the truth, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But my problem overall, even, you know, I laid it out with there's two legal issues. That still doesn't resolve the first legal issue, which is whether or not we can use the military to enforce the law. That's essentially what Trump is doing. And I just don't think that there is a legal authority to use the military to enforce drug laws. That's
well,
the problem I have overall.
No, I get that. And but if he's what they're doing in order to justify that is they're declaring them terrorists, right?
Correct. And that's the question. If they're declared terrorists now, that's no different than when Obama would send drones over the Middle East
right,
and
right.
attack terrorists with Hellfire missiles with drones, as long as they're defined as terrorists. And then if that goes to court, I'll tell you exactly what would happen. If those people are identified and categorized as terrorists, then the courts would say, listen, it's not up to the courts to define what terrorists are. That's a political question.
So where does that leave us then?
And I'll tell you exactly where that leaves us. That leaves us with the courts saying we can't decide this issue. And so Congress would have to pass a law defining what terrorism is. And this Congress is never going to pass that.
Yeah.
Okay. This Congress is never going to touch that issue. So where it becomes is if Trump classifies these people as terrorists, in essence, he can continue to do this, if that's the position, then I'm all in favor of it. You know, if we can classify them as terrorists, then yes, let's clean them up, get rid of them, and make sure they don't pollute our children in this country with fentanyl.
Brad Young, I have some other issues, but I'm up against the clock here. But I found this interesting this morning in the Wall Street Journal. I'm concerned with you, for you. I'm concerned for your profession, Brad. I deeply down in my heart. It said, say goodbye to the billable hour thanks to AI. With AI taking over their grunt work, lawyers and other professionals may have to charge for outcomes rather than time spent.
No.
He says no.
Not a problem, my friend.
You're getting around that, huh?
Not a problem. Listen, I'm using AI all the time with summarizing medical records in my law practice.
I bet it helps
a lot.
That's
all I use it for.
Yeah.
It does help. And actually, to paraphrase some sales ads for maybe some car dealerships, you know, I use less time using AI and I pass the savings on to you.
Well, look at that. So, I like to hear that.
Yeah. So I don't see it as a problem.
Okay. Hey, thanks for jumping on here with me.
My pleasure, Mark.
We'll see you. I think this was the guy when I was driving home last night, Jason Redman, who is a retired Navy SEAL, and he's with an organization called Wounded Wear. He was on Laura Ingraham's show last night, and he was talking about the double tap and, you know, whether or not, because the issue now is what a lot of the Democrats say, and maybe even Rand Paul, is, well, you can't declare the, you know, the drug boats or the Venezuelans narco-terrorists because there's no such thing as narco-terrorists. That's one of the talking points right now from people on the left.
It's kind of fascinating watching all this. Individuals who have never been to war, I think there's an interesting thing that's been happening. I think it started to happen in the war on terror, this blurring of the rule of law and the law of armed conflict. And the reality is, in the law of armed conflict, if we designate individuals as enemy combatants, which is what we did by designating these people as narco-terrorists, the individuals they're using are combatants. And under the law of armed conflict, the rules of engagement that have been set down, these individuals become a clear and present threat. We have the ability to go after them.
So, you know, that's where I think Brad was pointing to the legal question of, okay, and I don't know who's going to define that, right? Because I guess the courts would have to come in and say, yes, they would get an official declaration of being a terrorist organization. And that seems to be the deciding point on all this.
You know, it's fascinating to me, the individuals would also say, you know, oh, well, these guys aren't a threat. You know, I frequently saw in both Iraq and Afghanistan, both the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were very good at shooting at us, putting weapons down, and then moving without a weapon. So to say they were no longer a threat, well, they would then move to an additional fighting position, and they would pick up a weapon and engage us again. The individuals on these boats, I guarantee they have weapons. The narco-terrorists aren't going to allow their drugs to go out there without individuals protecting them.
One of the reasons that Rand Paul says that he's against this is he put a stat out yesterday that said that 20%, when they were doing the research, 20% of the boats that were coming from Venezuela did not have drugs on them. But let me do a little quick math there. Okay, I'm not good at math. I'm really not. But doesn't that mean that 80% of them
well,
did?
Well, yes.
Okay, I was just checking that because you never can be sure. I guess part of me is, look, I always put myself in this situation. If this were Kamala Harris, oh my God, I can't even believe I said it. If that was her doing this.
I can't even.
So, but let's say it was a Democrat, all right?
All right.
Whoever, Gavin Newsom, J.B. Pritzker, that fat ass, someone like that. And he does something like this. Would our side be all worked up about that and the legalities of taking out a bunch of drug runners? Now, I'm not trying to, you know, shove the Constitution aside or, you know, make a declaration that we're not going to follow the law and the rules of engagement. I think that's important. But for the Democrats, again, to put this on a hill that they're willing to die upon, this issue, you know, drug runners that are being blasted out of the water. No, that's illegal. Trump, stop killing the terrorists. That's essentially what they're doing right
yep.
now. So good luck with that. Best of luck. Godspeed.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.